fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, righteousness and right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy word is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I'll meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, and let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Now this scripture, that's all, 73 through 80. This scripture was such a blessing to me. It made such an impact upon me when he read it that I just sat there and looked at it for a while, and I determined to preach from it when I had opportunity. And this is the opportunity. This is the time that I've chosen to preach this message. So let's go back to verse 73. He says, Lord, thy hands have made me and fashion me. Give me understanding. Here's what he's saying. Lord, as you made me, teach me. Here is the vessel which you've made. God made this vessel. Now fill it. Fill it with grace. Fill it with wisdom. Fill it with understanding. You'll have to teach me. You see, I am as much dependent on my Lord for spiritual knowledge and understanding and wisdom and the understanding of the mysteries of true life as I am dependent on him for my very being. David wrote again in Psalms, he says, Lord, forsake not the work of thy hands. You made me, teach me. You created me, you must teach me your will and your way. He who made us to live must enable us to learn. He who made us and gave us the power to stand must also give us the power to understand. You know, we hear about gifted men. I hear people talk about this man's a gifted man, a gifted woman, and there are plenty of those in the natural realm. But that man who has the best gifts from God, the very best gifts, that woman that has the best gifts is that man or woman to whom God has given an understanding of his will and a knowledge of his way. You know, the scripture says God made known his acts to the children of Israel. What's that other? His ways to Moses. Everybody sees God's acts. The man whom God has taught knows God's ways. That's what he's saying here. Teach me. Give me understanding. Oh, that this might be the prayer of everybody here. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Spurgeon said this. I want you to listen to this. A man, a human man, human being, without a mind, is an idiot. A mere mockery of a man. Even so, now listen to this. A human mind without grace and the knowledge of the living God is a perversion of a mind. Isn't that right? A perversion. He who knows not God actually knows nothing of any value. That's tough, but that's so. He who knows not God knows nothing, absolutely nothing, of any value. All right, the next verse, 74. You made me, now fill me, teach me. Verse 74. And they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. If you'll give me grace, you who made me, if you'll give me understanding and teach me thy way and thy will and give me your life and spiritual wisdom, then the people who fear thee, the people who know thee, who love thee, who are thy people, will be glad when they see me. They'll be glad to see me come. They'll welcome me. And they'll welcome my presence, for they recognize the grace of God in me. And they'll identify with me. And they'll be glad to see me. If you'll bless me, he says, I'll be a blessing. They'll be glad to see me. If you'll fill me with love for you, then I can love them and be loved by them. They'll be glad to see me. If you'll teach me, I can teach them, and they'll be glad to see me. See what he's saying? You've made me, now teach me, give me understanding that those who love thee will be glad to see me. You know, men of hope bring hope, and people are glad to see them. Men and women of joy bring joy, and folks are glad to see them. People of love and peace bring peace and love, and people are glad to see them. But despondent spirits spread their depression. Folks aren't glad to see them. And doubters spread their doubts. Folks aren't glad to see them. They may say glad to see you, but they'll see how quickly they can slip out of your presence. Complainers and murmurers are unwelcome, and folks aren't glad to see them. Your hand made me and fashioned me. Now give me understanding that the people who love thee will be glad to see me. Do a work of grace and wisdom in me that other believers will be glad to see me and not want to slip out of my presence and avoid me. Because I have hoped in thy word. Will you find a person filled with the word of God and trusting in the word of God? And that's the word incarnate or the word written, doesn't matter. But they are identified with the word and love the word and draw their joy and confidence and hope out of the word. Folks are glad to see them. Then verse 75, he said, I know, O Lord, I know, we've been talking about thou who hast made me, now give me understanding. And he says, I have some understanding. I know something. What do you know, David? What do you know? What has God taught you? I know that the judgments of the Lord are right. What are these judgments of the Lord? Well, we're talking about God's ways and God's will and God's providence and God's purpose and whatever God brings to pass. I know that the judgments of the Lord are right. I know that. That's wisdom. That's understanding. Like Eli of old who said, well, it's the Lord. Let him do what he will. It'll be right. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? You know, we talk about the man who has read the classics, is acquainted with all of the classics and languages and old writings, and maybe he's dipped into science and study of space, and maybe he's versed in history and grammar. But he's recognized as a man of knowledge. He is a man of knowledge compared with the ignorant masses. But wouldn't a man be far better off to be able to say this right here and rest in this confidence? I know, O Lord, that all your judgments are right. Amen. They're right. You know, David was a man of highs and lows. He was a man of triumphs and troubles. He couldn't see what was ahead. He couldn't see why it was ahead. But he was confident of one thing, which he knew, that whatever lay ahead, was right. It's right. It's all right. That song we sing, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I just know, he said, I know this, the judgments of the Lord are right. 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 And that, what's this? And that in faithfulness he hath afflicted me. You know, down here in verse 71, same chapter, 119, Psalm 71, he said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. I've been reading that for years and years and years and years and years and years. And I wonder if I know what it's all about. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. That's easy to say when you're not in the midst of affliction. But when you're right in the middle of affliction, it's another thing. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. But I'll tell you this, he says up here in verse 75 that he afflicted me in faithfulness. Now, several lessons. One, the devil didn't afflict me. He did. He did, if I'm his child. The Lord afflicted me. And you know, it's not because the Lord is unfaithful to us that he's afflicted us. It's the opposite. It's because he is faithful that he afflicted us. Isn't that true? It's not because the Lord is unmindful of me that I have troubles. It's because he is mindful of me that I have trouble. Whom the Lord loveth, he afflicted. That's right. God is faithful to his sons, and he will discipline, chasten, afflict, or do whatever's necessary to make them what they ought to be. So David says here, I know that what you do is right. Let that be established. I know that. I've been taught that. And I know that my affliction is from your hand, and you've done it faithfully, faithfully, for your glory and my good. God is faithful. You know, we get this thing backwards sometimes. We say, where's the Lord? I'm in hurting. Well, I'm in trouble. Where's the Lord? He afflicted us in faithfulness. Not because he's unfaithful to us or forgetful of us, but he is faithful and mindful of us, and therefore he's right there in the midst of our trial. And he won't suffer us to be troubled more than we can bear by his grace. He won't do it. Now, when a father disowns a son, you say, well, I've been disowned by God. No, no. When a father disowns a son, he doesn't correct him anymore. He doesn't even want to hear from him. Nor does he let the son hear from him. He's disowned him. There'd be no contact. But as long as a father loves that son, and cares for that son, and cares for his welfare and well-being, he'll deal with that son. And when he stops caring for him, that's when he stops dealing with him. Like I had a friend that emancipated his son. His son was 17 years old. He went out to the courthouse and had a paper drawn up that he didn't want anything to do with him or responsible for him and would not have anything, any obligation whatsoever. That boy was set free. That's a true story. Lord, don't emancipate me. I won't be emancipated. Not that way. I don't want him to stop dealing with me in whatever way is best for his glory and for me. Oh, look at the next verse, 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word to thy servant. Now this is something here. David in the verse above had just acknowledged that the Lord afflicted him. In faithfulness he afflicted him. Now he prays for that same Lord to comfort him. That seems strange to some people. That'd be strange to the natural mind, wouldn't it? That David should seek comfort in the same place he got the affliction. The same hand that rested heavy upon him, David says, now, that same hand comfort me. That's not the way we operate. If daddy chastens a son, he goes to mama for comfort. He'd be smart if he'd go to daddy. that right? If the Father and the Son have a conflict and the Father's dealt with him firmly and laid out some guidelines and some discipline, that boy makes a mistake to go to Mama. Best thing he can do is go to the daddy. And that's what David's done here. He said, you've afflicted me. Now you comfort me. You comfort me. How? By your tender mercies. It'll be mercy. We don't deserve his comfort. We haven't earned his comfort. It'll be according to his merciful kindness. Here's what? His merciful kindness. Be merciful to me according to thy loving kindness. I want you to turn to a scripture here. Job 5. Job chapter 5. Listen to this. What I'm saying is that as David goes for comfort to the very one who discomforted him, who afflicted him. And I want you to hear Job, what he says about that. Job 5:17. You have it? Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He kills, and he makes alive. He wounds, and he heals. Same one. Same one. How does he do it? According to his word. According to his word, to his servant. That's the favorite plea of all the people of God of all ages, according to thy word. According to thy word. This is the motive for mercy. This is the manner of mercy, according to thy word. Verse 77, Psalm 119. Let's get back there. Listen, let thy tender mercies come unto me. You see, I'm not a hard shell or a Calvinistic fatalist or anything like that. I just know that everything that I receive got to come from God. Just like you said, Lord, you made me, you teach me. Lord, your judgments are right. You afflicted me. Now you comfort me. Now he says, let your tender mercies come to me. They don't have to come to me. They ain't going to come out of me. Isn't that right? They've got to come to me. And it's his tender mercies, so he's got to send it. That's just good sense. That's not hard shellism. I'd like to pray like David, wouldn't you? I'd like to believe like David. I'd like to trust like David. I'd like God to say of me what he said of David, a man after my own heart. And this man knows the language of prayer. This man knows the language of God. Let your tender mercies come to me. I'm not accepting you. You're accepting me. I'm not doing you any favor, Lord. You're doing all the favors for me. Let your tender mercies. Tender what? Mercies. Come to me. Come to me. That I may live. And I'm not going to live without them. Oh, I'll exist. Without his tender mercies, I can exist, but I'm not going to live. We don't know what life's all about till we know him. You know, most of our old cliches, you know, say, well, where there's life, there's hope. You ever heard that? Where there's life, there's hope. That ain't so. Where there's hope, there's life. It's the other way around. That's right. You see, in God's mercy is life. Where there's mercy, there's life. Where there's hope, there's life. Give me the hope of Christ and I'll live. Let your tender mercies come to me and then I'll live. I'll live then. But I don't live until then. Till his tender mercies in Christ Jesus, by the blood of the Son of God, by his holy righteousness, that's when I begin to live. Up to that time, it's just been an existence. For he says, verse 77, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your word is my delight. Your word is my delight. What do you do to determine if somebody's alive naturally? Take a pulse. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, he's alive. How do you determine somebody's alive spiritually? spiritual pulse. Thy word is my delight. Thy word is my delight. Christ the word of your life spiritually. Everybody wants to go to heaven. You rarely meet anybody that won't go to heaven. But boy, what a joy it is to meet somebody to whom thy word is my delight. Thy word is my delight. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Oh, boy, listen to this. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed. Pride's our greatest enemy. Let the proud be ashamed. And the proud, in their pride, dealt perversely with me without a cause. Pride's man's greatest enemies. God said seven things I hate, and the first one's pride. God resisteth the proud. Pride goeth before destruction. Sometimes David speaks of the wicked and sometimes of the proud. Those two words are interchangeable. That's right. Proud and the wicked. See, pride keeps a man from contrition of heart. Pride keeps a man from repentance. Pride makes a man delight in himself and not in Christ. Pride exalts our works instead of his. Pride will not allow us to beg for mercy. Pride will not bend the knee. Pride will not blend together with others and sing the song of the Lamb. It's got to sing a solo. I, me, and mine. That's right. Pride cannot rejoice. It cannot love. It cannot follow. So David said, just let them be ashamed. Let them be ashamed. But listen to verse 79. Over 78 there, he says, but it's for me. I'll meditate in thy precepts. I'll leave the proud to you. And I'll meditate, I'll speak well, and think upon thy precepts and thy statutes. Now, verse 79, let those that fear thee, turn to thee, turn to me, be my friends, fellowship with me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let me show you something Mr. Spurgeon pointed out here. He says, David has two words for the Lord's people. Verse 79. Do you see what they are? Let those that fear thee turn to me, and those that have known thy testimonies, the testimonies of the gospel, truth of God, let them turn to me. You have two words there. They fear God. They're God-fearing people. Number two, they know God. They're God-knowing people. They fear thee, and they know thee. See that? In other words, they're people of devotion and they're people of instruction, both. They're people of heart and people of head. They're people of affection, love. They know God. They know God. And they're people also who understand. They fear God and they know God. Mr. Spurgeon said this. I read this to Milton this afternoon about this scripture right here. Spurgeon said, I know some church folks who are gracious but not intelligent in the things of God. And I know some church folks who are intelligent in doctrine but not very gracious. He said, I neither care for devout dummies nor intelligent icebergs, either one. I don't want to be either one, do you? I don't want to be a devout dummy. But I sure don't want to be an intelligent iceberg. What I want to be, I want to fear God and know God. I want to fear God, to love God, and I want to know God. Why can't I be both? Why can't I be instructed, both instructed and compassionate? He says, let those that both love thee and those who are instructed in the things of thine, I need their fellowship. I need their fellowship. Now then, wait a minute. David doesn't say here, well, if they can do without me, I can sure do without them. Have you ever thought that? I have. If they can do without me, I can sure do without them. That's not what he said. I can't do without them. He says, let them come to me. Let them come to me. I know the value of their fellowship. those that fear thee and those that know thee, I want to walk with them. Let them come unto me and let us walk together. And then he said, listen, verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. My heart. Here's the root of the matter. It's the state of the heart. Someone, old dying Puritan, and they were trying, you've done this before, you've gone to the hospital room and fluffed up pillows. Haven't you ever done that? Why? Sure you have. You know, your mother or brother or sister or child or something lying there, and they just look like they're not comfortable, and so you kind of raise your head and you fluff up the pillow and get another and put under it. And this fella came into this old fella that was dying, and he fluffed up his pillows and got him off. He said, now, how does your head lie now? He said, brother, it's not how my head's lying, it's how does my heart lie. He said, that's worry about my need is. What's the state of my heart? Not the comfort of this head, it's the joy of this heart. That's what he's saying here. Let my heart be fixed, sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. That I be not ashamed here and there. I put about four hymns together here about the heart. Four different hymns by four different men. And they say this, my heart is fixed. My song shall raise immortal honors to thy name. Lord, awake my tongue to sing thy praise, thou who art forevermore the same. My heart is resting on my God. I will rejoice, give thanks, and sing. My heart is at the secret source of every real and precious thing. My heart shall triumph in the Lord and bless his works and bless his word. His works of grace, how bright they shine, how deep his counsels, oh, how divine. And then my heart is with him on his throne, and naught his purpose will delay. Each moment I'm listening for his voice. Arise, my child, and come away. My heart is fixed. Let it, David said, be sound in thy statutes.